Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 147, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for a fabulous night of football action right here on the Watchdog Network. Wheeling Park heads up to Butler, Pennsylvania, and John Marshall returns home after a three-game road trip as they host Brook this evening here on the Watchdog Network. And check those two games out on WKKX and WVOY. JM on WVOI, Wheeling Park on WKKX, and streaming at WatchdogNetwork.com. Full football weekend for you. The Mountaineers in action on Saturday at UCF. And then on Sunday, it's the Cleveland Browns against the Miami Dolphins, a 1 o'clock kick on that one. Can hear all those games right here on the Watchdog Network throughout the weekend. Fabulous Football Friday continues on here. We get the pregame show following us, and then we'll get you out to your game. Wheeling Park and John Marshall both in action tonight. But first, let's recap what we got going on here on the Watchdog Network and Better's Last Stand here today. And let's tell you about last week. And last week, it wasn't fabulous. It wasn't terrible. We broke about even. We were up about a half a unit. So it's better than being down a half a unit. Not our best. But we didn't give out a whole lot of plays last week. There was a lot of things that weren't in service. We didn't have any soccer. There wasn't a lot of hockey to be given other than the futures that we gave out. So we'll have more stuff down the pike. Soccer is back, so we're going to go through the Major League Baseball card and what's going on in the playoffs. We're going to talk a little NHL. We're going to talk some racing, of course, as always, with NASCAR and F1 in action, both in the United States this week. Soccer, Premier League is back. Championship is back. League One is back, although League One and Two did play some games last week. But we're back, full soccer card for the weekend. Good stuff there. Of course, we got college football and pro football to discuss as well. So let's not waste any more time. And again, thanks to Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for sponsoring us today on Football Fridays here on the Watchdog Network. Hard to believe we're already into week 8 and 9. It's just nuts. Duggar's Saucy Spread Challenge already in week number 8. So incredible stuff. This is the fastest time of the year, no question about it. Let's not waste any time. Let's recap what we did. College football last week here on Better's Last Stand. We were 13-8. Was our best week so far this year. We are now 70-67-3 on the season, so just about 51%-ish there. Not where we need to be yet, but we're getting there. About 5% gain from last week, and we started off really, really hot. If you started off with this early, the games, I think it was Friday on this show. So Friday, I might have put a game out there for Thursday. So if you got that one on BLS_PRP on Twitter or X, you had an extra winner there. But we started out, I think, like 7-0, so we were red, red hot. Kind of had some bad luck late on. Depends on what you got the number at on a few of the games. Like, we had the Iowa-Wisconsin game under. If you got the late, what it closed at, 37.5, then you were good. But if you got the 36.5, which is what I gave out, I ended up betting it again at the 37.5, so I kind of scratched out there. But yeah, so if you got to get the best of these numbers. There was a lot of games that came down to it. The LSU game, South Carolina, that game was like decided by a point. So that was another one that we just missed on. So anyway, 13-8, we'll take it. It's better than what we had been doing, that's for sure. 11-10 in the NFL, 38-41-1 on the season, 47%. We've got to get that better, no doubt. And then NASCAR, that's our one. I'll just get right to it. It's a bad beat. In a way, and it was probably a mistake by the driver. But William Byron, if you watched the race at Las Vegas, we gave him out last week. We said we really liked him. We thought this was a track that he could win at, and that he really needed to win this because his next two tracks, not that he's not good at it, but Talladega, anything goes, Martinsville, a little tricky to get into the final for the playoffs. Well, William Byron had the best car on the track. It wasn't even close. He was better than Kyle Larson. He was better than any of the other guys that were up there, Briscoe and some of the other guys that led early in that race. And inexplicably, after a sequence of pit stops, you had a situation where I don't know what happened. I don't know if William Byron's spotter gave him bad info. I don't know if he wasn't paying attention. I don't know if his tire was going down. Tires were an issue for sure. But he smashed right into the back of Ty Dillon. I mean, and going in like maximum speed. I don't know if he thought Ty Dillon was going to get out of his way. Something was amiss there. I don't know what it was. If you saw the replay, if you were as frustrated as me, because it was just an inexcusable situation. I don't know who was at fault, but it was inexcusable to happen out there. He had the best car by far. I'd have been stunned if he didn't win the race. He led 55 laps and he was just dominant. Briscoe led 57, and Kyle Larson ended up leaving 129, and we'll recap it here in a few minutes. The guy that won, of course, Denny Hamlin, he didn't really do anything to deserve to win that race. But anyway, very frustrating result for us there. I would have said 95% sure William Byron was going to win that race. So we missed out on a nice 10-1 ticket there. Soccer, 34-14-4 over the last month. 65% will be back at it this week with the EPL cranking back up. All right, let's talk a little baseball here. American League and National League Championship Series both going on right now. Both road teams look fantastic. 2-0 leads for both of them as they go back home. Favorites so far, 19-14. Unders, 18-14-1 so far through the playoffs. Road teams, 4-0 in the championship series. How about this one? Teams who win the first two games on the road in a best-of-seven series in Major League Baseball all time, 25-3. And I believe I heard that the last team that lost two on the road or at home and came back and won was the Yankees, the year that they were down 2-0 in the World Series to the Braves and came back and won four straight against them. So I'm not certain that Toronto or Milwaukee, we said it all along, we didn't believe in those teams. They were not teams that we touted at all. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I was all over the Dodgers all year, but we never counted them out. We never counted out Seattle. We have the AL West ticket to win it all. We've had several bets on Seattle, several exacta bets on Seattle. We've been in on Seattle for quite a while, but we were never in on Toronto. And we were absolutely never in on Milwaukee. And I'm not taking anything away from either one of those teams. They both had very good seasons. But I knew when it came down to it that Milwaukee was not going to hit. They don't have natural, pure hitters in their lineup. Churio, the leadoff hitter, is very, very good. No doubt about it. And they have some good players. I'm not saying that. But their pitching is just so-so. And they don't really have a guy that can carry them through a series like even Seattle has with a couple of massive bats. And even to an extent, Toronto. But I just never believed in Milwaukee. Like, they're a great regular season team. They beat a lot of teams. They were 6-0 against the Dodgers in the regular season. We'll throw all that out now because they don't have anybody that can get a big hit. And it showed again as they just they get the leadoff home run of the game and never score again. Obviously the Dodgers very, very formidable with the lineup that they have. But it wasn't like the Dodgers were smashing the ball. It was the pitching so far with Snell and Yamamoto. Fantastic. But at the end of the day, you knew Milwaukee couldn't hit, so that's why I never recommended them in any bets. Same with Toronto. I just didn't trust them. They're good enough to beat the Yankees, who are frauds anyway, but they're not good enough to beat Seattle and some of these other teams. And I seriously do believe that if the Red Sox would have been able to run the bases in that Game 5 against game two against the Yankees, they would have won that series. They would have beat Toronto, and they would be giving Seattle a much better series. It probably would go seven games. Just frustrating. The Red Sox really let the Yankees off the hook, and they really let the Blue Jays off the hook as well. And I do think they would have been very live here in the American League. But that's neither here nor there. 25-3 teams who win the first two games on the road. That's going to be very tough to get over. NHL-wise, we gave out the NHL futures last week on the show. You can check those out. BLS_PRP. Off to a pretty good start in most of those. But it's very, very early. Hurricanes, we told you, they're going to roll through that Metropolitan Division. They're 3-0 already. And they're just going to be better than most of the teams in there night in, night out. There's just no real good team in the Metropolitan Division other than Carolina who will fold in the playoffs like they always do. But they're going to win a ton of regular season games. I mean, they're going to get 110, 115. They may even push 120 for points because they're going to beat these Metropolitan teams that are old and slow pretty regularly. So look for the Hurricanes to continue to assert their dominance in the Metro. Avs 3-0-1 said they are going to be very good. They're just freshened up. Not a long playoff run last year, so I think that's going to help them quite a bit. Islanders, Sabres, Sharks all winless to start off. Not surprised at all by the Islanders. Not surprised at all by the Sharks. Sabres a touch, but still very early. Caps 3-1 to the under, and I've watched several Capitals games so far. And they are a dead under team. They got a very good goaltender. They don't have a ton of firepower up and down their lineup. They're going to be a team that's going to score on a power play. They probably have two scoring lines. Not that they're a bad team, but they will lock it down. And the Caps right now, to me, definitely trending as a massive under team. Little too early to get the first period and second period data yet. Probably want to give everybody at least probably between 6 to 10 games to be able to get that kind of stuff to feel pretty confident about the numbers. So hopefully for next week's show, we'll start getting to those numbers and start giving you some first period over teams, some second period over teams, some third period over teams, goal in the first 10, all that good stuff that comes with the NHL season. Rangers, how about this? The Rangers have played 3 games at home, and they've been shut out every time. They have no goals on home ice, including one of them to the Penguins, who have played pretty well so far. Not incredibly talented team, but the Penguins seem to be a little fresher, a little faster, and we'll see how long that lasts. Could be short-lived. I don't know, as they're out west right now. Switching back over to racing here. As we talked about, we'll touch on NASCAR here momentarily, but the F1 boys back in action this week as they will head to the Circuit of the Americas here in the United States in Austin, Texas. And you have Max Verstappen. How about this? He's back as the favorite here. George Russell won the last race that we were at in Marina Bay, and then Baku, and it was Max Verstappen, and then Monza, Max Verstappen. So you had Verstappen, and Russell. So it's been a while. It's been since late August since the McLarens won a race. So they're going to win the Constructors' Championship. They're going to win the driver title. But Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, a little bit of a bump right here. You're starting to see that Red Bull has figured it out, and so has Mercedes, rather. And they're giving him a little bit of a challenge here. So we'll see how these guys respond. I would take a shot with Piastri. Now he's drifting up to plus 240, although he has not run well here at COTA in the past. Last year's winner at COTA, Charles Leclerc, Ferrari runs 1-2. The McLarens were 4-5 last year here, and Max Verstappen was on the podium in the third spot. Charles Leclerc for the Ferrari, he led all 51 laps at COTA last year. The year before that, Max Verstappen. The year before that, Max Verstappen won. But 2 years ago, Verstappen led 26 of them. Lando Norris led 21 for McLaren. He finished second. And Carlos Sainz in the Ferrari finished third. So the Ferrari's looking pretty strong here at COTA. So I would say if you're going to take a shot of a team that maybe get a double top six, I think Ferrari looks very, very good. And it might be a small minus price on that, but Ferrari to win is 8-1. So you can take either Ferrari, get him at 8-1. I think, I'm not sure Lewis Hamilton can win, but Charles Leclerc probably will have a car that will be all right here. I wouldn't dismiss Mercedes either. They're 10-1. Williams double top 10. I'm going to be checking that one out once more once I see how they practice here. Again, there's not a ton of data at this track for the F1. They've only been here for, you know, a handful of years, a little bit more than that actually. But it's just not one of these tracks that you've run on year and year and year and year out. So some exploring to be done there. But I would take a shot with Piastri just off my first instincts. And then I like the Williams cars to run well. And I'm going to take a peek at Ferrari and Mercedes both to have at least double top sixes. But you may be able to get something a little bit better than that. Max Verstappen will probably be pretty strong too. So Red Bull seems to have figured it out. And I think they will be in a good clash here. McLarens are minus 149. That would be either McLaren at minus 149. Get Red Bull at plus 175. That's basically just Verstappen because he's plus 185 straight. I don't think any of the other Red Bull car has any prayer in this race, but you never know. So we will see how things transpire there at COTA. This is, I believe, a 3 o'clock green flag here in the United States, so that'll be cool. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn or, well, it's sometimes mid-morning, but you don't have to get up really early for that one. So BLS_PRP, I'll have my final picks for the race at COTA for the F1 boys in the United States Grand Prix posted there. All right, so the Yellowwood 500. We are at Talladega this week. We had the bad beat last week with William Byron, who had by far the best car there. Frustrating. Denny Hamlin wins the race. He only leads 9 laps. He swoops in and takes it late, and that's just what a champion would do. So we're down to just 2 more races before the final cut down to the final 4. You got Talladega this week and then Martinsville. So you go from the biggest speedway to one of the smaller ones, the giant speedway at Talladega to the paperclip at Martinsville the next 2 weeks before we finish up at Phoenix to close out the NASCAR season. Ryan Blaney among the favorites here. You're going to see numbers here a little bit tighter. You're not going to see any 6 and 5 to 1s. You're going to see the favorites around 10 to 1. Those would be Austin Cindric around 12, Blaney at 10, William Byron at 10. These are guys who have had success here. William Byron's actually never won at Talladega. He's won at Daytona. but he has the best average finish of those of a guy who didn't win here before. So Ryan Blaney, multiple winner here. Brad Keselowski, multiple winner here. You got a lot of guys who have been very good. Denny Hamlin, 22-1. How about that? But he doesn't need this race, so I'm not certain that Denny Hamlin is going to get crazy here. He's not going to be as aggressive. I'm sure he's still going to want to win this race, but he's not going to be as aggressive as maybe usual. Kyle Larson, 18-1. He's been getting a little bit better as restrictor plates, so I'm half tempted to take a shot with him at 18-1. He's never been a good super speedway racer, but he's improved a lot, and he's been trying to improve, and that's a good sign. Chris Bell, 28-1. So you got some big prices on guys normally you would never get at these prices. 18-1 on Larson, 22-1 on Hamlin, 28-1 on Bell. You just don't see that very often. Chase Briscoe, 25-1. I like him here. 16.2 average. He's ran up here. He's led some laps. He's been in contention. I like what he did at Daytona this year. I thought that he ran pretty strong, and you know, towards the end of his career, Martin Truex, he was starting to figure out his car here on these super speedways too, and that's the car that Briscoe is in right now. So Briscoe led 22 laps here earlier this year, so I think Chase Briscoe, to me, very, very live. You're going to see a lot of lead changes here at Talladega, like we always do, so you're going to have situations where you're going to be thinking, man, my guy's in a good spot, and then boom, he's back to 20th, but then you're going to say, oh man, my guy's in 20th, and then he's up to second. So don't get too high or too low here at Talladega. Things can change in a hurry. And you have guys that normally you wouldn't play that will have a very, very reasonable shot at a top 10, a top 5, and even to win this race. Chris Buescher, he's not one of those guys. He could win anytime. 25-1 on him. We'll absolutely be using him. RFK car is very strong here at Talladega. Brad Keselowski, 18-1. He will be using the other RFK car. Ryan Preece, 25-1. Can't use Austin Cindric at 12-1. He won the race earlier this year, and he's a great restrictor plate racer. He's won Talladega, he's won at Daytona, but I can't play him at 12-1. Just no chance, and he's not had a very good run of luck lately. Ricky Stenhouse, 22-1, winner here twice, winner at Daytona as well. So Ricky Stenhouse, very live at 22-1. Hopefully he can find a little better price on that. You might be able to find a 30 out there if you really hunt. Ty Dillon, 66-1. He will contend here. A lot of people would say, oh, Ty Dillon, he's terrible, he can't win. Well, he can win here. He's going to have a shot. He will compete here, I promise you. He will have a car up there in that top draft for most of the race. It's just going to matter if, you know, if he can survive the big wreck. That's what it always really comes down to with these guys like Ty Dillon. He's going to have a car. Priest is going to be there. Ty Dillon's going to be there. Todd Gilliland is 30-1. He's going to lead laps here or have a chance to. And Anthony Alfredo, 250-1. This guy's a really good restrictor plate racer. He reminds me of a Brendan Gaughan, who was like a specialty racer at these big tracks, and a guy who could finish in the top 10. So don't be scared away by the 250-1. And I'm not saying that he will win, but he's got a very good chance to finish in the top 10. And if all hell breaks loose here, he could absolutely win. So Anthony Alfredo, Ty Dillon, and Todd Gilliland, big plays, big price plays there. And then their mid-tier guys, Ricky Stenhouse, Ryan Preece, Chris Buescher, and then your lower-tier guys, Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski. Those are the guys we're focusing on this week. Could Alex Bowman win this? Absolutely. 28-1. Chase Elliott's very good here. He's 12-1. Ross Chastain, 28-1. You can't ever dismiss Joey Logano. He's in the mix at 10-1. A little short on the price on that one, so won't play them. But that's why I haven't played some of the very, very top guys. It's just because the prices just aren't good enough. But those are the guys we're going to go with here in the Yellowwood 500 at Talladega on Sunday afternoon. Should be a very, very exciting race. It's right up against those NFL games, which I would prefer to watch the race anytime. Much more entertaining than anything you're going to see NFL-wise. Back to the baseball. I forgot to mention this part, but as of today, when the show is being taped, Dodgers were minus 175 to win the World Series, followed by the Mariners at plus 180, Milwaukee 14-1, and the Blue Jays at 16-1. Now, I would tend to think those two should be flipped. I think it'll be harder for Milwaukee to come back than it would be Toronto, because, you know, Seattle's bats could go cold too, because they have many, many times. Looking ahead at World Series MVP, I think is pretty intriguing. You got some guys who are just built for this. If the Dodgers were to sweep and Blake Snell were to pitch game one and say it went seven and he pitched 1-4-7 or something and he won them all, he's live at 20-1. I think Randy Arozarena is a great bet. He's a big time player. 30-1 you can find on him. You can find Eugenio Suarez at 40-1. Doubt he'll hit enough to be able to do that. He's going to have to hit a lot of bombs in this series to probably have really a realistic chance at that. But Teoscar Hernandez, another guy, we backed him in Home Run Derby. This guy's a clutch player. He can hit. He can hit in the big spots, 16-1. He can get Mookie Betts is 16-1, which I think is very good because he fields well. Max Muncy's around 40-1. So those are some guys you want to zero in on, but I definitely wouldn't leave a Rosarena off your tickets. And Cal Raleigh's obviously going to get a ton of play, and as will Ohtani. But Ohtani's been awful lately at the plate. Now, that can turn around very quickly, but him being 3-1, no thank you. I will stay away from that. Toronto and Seattle in action. They will play, I believe, Wednesday, Thursday, potentially Friday. And then the Dodgers and Brewers were in action last night, and then they will be in action again today. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But exciting World Series on tap here if it ends up being Seattle and L.A. At least I would think so. All right, rolling along here. Bettors Last Stand, show number 147 here on the Watchdog Network here on a Football Friday, getting you ready for Wheeling Park at Butler this evening and John Marshall hosting the Brook Bruins. Wheeling Central played last night, so they will not be in action tonight. Again, thanks to our friends at Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for sponsoring our Football Fridays here on the Watchdog Network. Thanks to Bob, Shane, and Bear, as always, getting us kicked off with the Football Fridays. And we were out at the zoo in Moundsville at Gumby's this afternoon for another action-packed show. Fun down there as always. All right, so let's talk what's going on in the world of sports betting. Penn State, the first team to lose back-to-back games, is a favorite of 20 points or more since 1978. The Nittany Lions lost to Northwestern, a 21-point favorite. Then they were a 25-point favorite against UCLA the week before that. James Franklin, of course, out at Penn State with that $49 million buyout, which I didn't realize. I'd learned something new, which you should try to learn something new. It's impossible. If you go out seeking to learn something new every day, you will learn something new every day. And I learned that these the sporting goods people, apparel people, Adidas, actually, ironically, I have an Adidas thing on right now, they paid the majority of his buyout. I didn't know that was even a thing. Like, I didn't know you could do that. So that's a whole new kettle of fish there. Now you're going to have these sporting goods manufacturers buying out contracts. That changes a lot of things. You're going to see these guys that maybe they would hold on to him another year, they're going to be gone because they're not wasting any time. And if Adidas is going to throw 40 of the $49 million at you, yeah, you're going to make the move. So I did not know you could do that, but then again, I don't know why you couldn't, because there's no rules in the NCAA anyway. So anyway, best of luck, James Franklin. Maybe he'll be coaching in the Mountain East next year. Air Force, the only FBS football team that has gone over in every game this year. They're 6-0 to the over. Let's recap last week's ticket counts here. How about these numbers? So highest ticket counts from week number 7 in college football. We had 94% on Ole Miss. Now, this is a game I felt very strongly about, and I told you why. Ole Miss plays Georgia this week. They just got off a win against LSU. There was no chance they were coming out with maximum focus for Washington State at home. They're laying 32.5, 33, 34. And I saw professional people that you pay for picks give out Ole Miss. That, to me, is just that's just a I don't know what the term is. Malpractice, almost, to an extent. You're taking somebody's money and giving them that as their bet. Well, we gave you out right here on Bettors Last Stand for at no cost to you. We gave you out Washington State, and they almost won the game outright. They outplayed Ole Miss the entire game. So whenever I tell you something isn't a good spot for a team, I'm not saying that you have to go with me. You don't have to. But if you liked Ole Miss last week, maybe you set it out instead of playing Washington State. Maybe you said, I can't play Washington State. But maybe you at least didn't bet on Ole Miss, because it was an awful spot. I mean, LSU, then you got Washington State smack dab in the middle, and then you play Georgia at Georgia. Which games are you going to be focused on? LSU and Georgia, of course. So they were lucky to escape with a victory. They didn't even come close to covering. They were never in contention to cover in that game at all. So 94% of the tickets were on Ole Miss last week. 92% on Louisiana Tech. We had Kennesaw. We gave that one out as well. Kennesaw wins the game outright. 92% on Penn State minus 22 against Northwestern. Lost outright. 92% on LSU minus 9 against South Carolina. We did have South Carolina here. LSU won by 10. Laying 9, so they barely squeaked it out. 84% on Boise, minus 16 against New Mexico. That was a push, depending on the number. It hit on 16. If you had 16.5, you're no good. If you had New Mexico, but if you were laying at 17 with Boise, you were no good. 84% on Texas Tech minus 14.5 against Kansas. I did have Kansas there. I thought Tech with a tough spot, like, because they got Arizona State coming up this week. But Texas Tech is really, really good. I will say the two teams that have impressed me the most this year without question were Indiana, who we were on last week, and on Texas Tech. They're the two biggest stock risers to me of any team that I've seen this year. Texas Tech is really good. Indiana is really, really good. So 84% on Texas Tech, they get home against Kansas. 84% on Houston against Oak State. That wasn't easy early, but they ended up pulling away. And then 80% on Maryland, catching 6.5 against Nebraska in a seesaw game. The Terps lose the game, but cover the spread. Highest ticket counts this week. Here's where you need to take notes. And again, BLS underscore PRP, you'll see the teams that we're fading. We're not necessarily, you don't straight fade these. You find other angles that you like about a certain side or team or total or whatever, and then you kind of apply this. So if I was going to like Duke already, which I do, and I saw 94% of the tickets are on Georgia Tech, I'm absolutely playing Duke, and that's what we will be doing this week. 94% on Georgia Tech plus 1.5 at Duke. I will be on the Blue Devils in that one. 92% on Oregon, going on the road at Rutgers after a tough loss at home against Indiana. Oregon comes all the way across, laying 17.5 against Rutgers. 92% of tickets on them. That's just amazing. 90% on USF minus 21 against Florida Atlantic. I'll tell you about my thoughts on that game when we get to it. 88% on Buffalo minus 17 at UMass. That seems like trouble to me. 88% on Temple minus 11.5 at Charlotte. Now, Charlotte is atrocious, so I understand a little bit of that, but is Temple that good? 88% on Florida State, 18.5 at Stanford. Don't get that one at all. Florida State, not very good. 87% on Ole Miss plus 7.5 at Georgia. That line looks bad. I know you think that. I know you're saying, how in the world can Georgia, who's not played well, be given 7.5 to Ole Miss, who's been awesome? How can that be? I'm on the dog. Well, beware of public dogs. 87% on Ole Miss right now, plus 7.5. So I'm just saying, tread lightly. 80% on Mississippi State, plus 9.5 against Florida at Florida. Another one, public dog. Dogs aren't bet by the public very often. So when you see ticket counts that are this high on dogs, be careful. 80% on Mississippi State. They're. So to me, Florida's the play, even though I don't like Florida. Sometimes you got to grin and bear it with these and wait and let the public kind of dictate where your mind goes. 76% on USC, plus 9.5 against Notre Dame, another public dog. So be careful. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, USC. I'll be stunned if all three of those teams cover. I would be more... I would probably think there's a better chance that they all don't cover than they all do cover. So probably 2 out of 3. Lopsided ticket counts in the NFL from week number 6. 81% on New England minus 3. That was a winner. 80% on Indy minus 6.5. A loser. 79% on the Lions plus 2.5. A loser. 79% on Philadelphia minus 7, a loser, an outright loser. 78% on Buffalo minus 4.5, outright loser. 78% on Dallas minus 3.5, outright loser. 72% on the Chargers minus 4.5. They win by 1 or 2, but they did not cover. 71% on the Rams minus 7.5 at Baltimore. So let's recap these NFL ones. You got two winners there in the high ticket count volume, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losers. 2 and 6 lopsided tickets there in the NFL. So take note of that, folks. Take note of that. Be aware of these trends in these numbers, because you do not want to be on the side of the masses. And that's not just in politics of the world, affairs, whatever it is. If you're lining up like a sheep and going with the people, all the people in a herd, it doesn't always turn out well for you. Lopsided ticket count so far, it entering week 7 in the NFL, 87% on New England minus 7.5, 82% on Philadelphia again minus 1.5, 70% on Carolina minus 1.5, 75% on the Seahawks minus 3.5, 72% on the Colts plus 1.5. There's a dog that you got to be worried about. 71% on Green Bay minus 6.5. Don't get the Green Bay stuff. They're like the new Cincinnati. NFL favorites so far this season, 60-30-1 straight up. Dogs now take the lead on the year, 46-45 dogs against the spread, and then overs 47-44 to this point. Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes now 2-1 at BetMGM to be the favorite as the favorite for MVP. He's brought his team along here. They struggled, but they're well within. And I would say, don't be shying away if you like Kansas City on futures, because they're going to be around in this mix here. There's not very many good teams, period, and the AFC's quite a mess right now. One better, wager $250,000 on the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East, one of those teams that everybody thought was going to be great. Not so good. They're at minus 250, so he laid $250,000 to win $100,000. Not looking great for him. All of a sudden, the Bills in second place in that division. Cleveland Browns currently a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Dolphins this week. It'd be the first time the Browns have been favored in a game in their last 14 games, week 11 of last season against the Saints. How about that one? Brian Callahan was 4-19 against the spread as Tennessee's head coach, the worst ATS mark by a head coach in the Super Bowl era. Minimum 5 games, of course. Callahan out in Tennessee. So we'll see what happens. Best college cover team so far, Memphis 6-0, Texas Tech 6-0, Ohio State 5-0-1. Best and worst ATS teams in the NFL, the 4-2 teams, Tampa, Carolina, Detroit, Seattle, the Rams, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and New England. The bad, bad, bad teams, 1-5 Baltimore, the 2-4 ATS teams, New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Las Vegas. So, a lot to unpack there here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 147, coming to you from the Pound Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for Football Friday here on the Watchdog Network. Wheeling Park in action tonight at Butler. And then you got John Marshall hosting Brooke. All right, soccer is back. Let's go through a few picks here. I didn't get to handicap fully the championship in League One, so those plays will be up at BLS underscore PRP. So be sure you check them, because we've been really, really hot in soccer. 34-14-4 over the last month. That's 65%. We're back in the EPL Saturday morning. Nottingham Forest and Chelsea. Home team winless in the last 6 in this matchup. Forest is winless in 9 overall. So to me, this says nothing but back to basics. Chelsea host Ajax on Wednesday in a Champions League match. To me, they're going to be just wanting to get out of this with a win. Under 3 is the play there. I think both teams will be very, very compact. I don't think you're going to see a lot of chance taking. Chelsea will just want to get out of that unscathed, win the game 1-0, and move on to take on Ajax on Wednesday. Brighton and Newcastle. Brighton plus 150, Newcastle plus 170. So pretty even matchup here, this game at Brighton. Home team in this one has won just once in the last 6, but Brighton are unbeaten in their last 8 at home against Newcastle, so figure that one out. The unders cash 3 out of 4 matches between these two. Newcastle's home to Benfica on Tuesday in the Champions League. I like Brighton at home here. I think Newcastle, to me, seems not nearly as good on the road as they are at home. I think Brighton, very dangerous at home. I'll take Brighton plus the 150 at a good price. Palace and Bournemouth, our next one. Palace took their first loss of the season last week, so that's not bad. They've been playing very, very well. The last 6 have been under in this clash, including the last 2 0-0 draws. So I'm going towards Palace here. They've been very good at home, plus 120. If you're getting a plus price on them on the better side, not saying Bournemouth's terrible, but they're not as good away from home like most of these teams aren't. Palace and under 3 are the plays for me in that one. Burnley and Leeds, our next matchup. Burnley plus 225, Leeds on the road plus 125. That, to me, seems off. Burnley's winless in 6 overall. They're not very good, but they are at home. 3 of the last 4 have been under in this series. Leeds haven't been very good either. I like under 3 here, and I would lead Burnley. If I had to take a draw no bet type action here, I would go with Burnley at home. Sunderland and Wolves, you know where we're going here. Sunderland plus 135, Wolves plus 220. Stadium of Light brings out the best in Sunderland. It's a raucous environment. These people were into this. Sunderland just elevates their game at home. Sunderland's already got 2 wins at home. We've had both of those. And these teams haven't met since 2018, so there's not a whole lot of recent form to talk about. Wolves, just 1 win in their last 7. I like Sunderland a lot here. I would even consider playing them 0.75 on the Asian handicap and getting an even better price. I think they win this game something like 2-0, 3-1, something in that realm. City and Everton, the last 3 under in this series and 5 out of 7 under in this series. Everton haven't beaten City since 2017, and they never even won at the Etihad Stadium before. City have Villarreal next week in the Champions League. I lean City in this. They're better, but Everton's well managed, and I'm not laying 250 with City, so it'd be City on the handicap, but probably just go with the under in this match. Go under 3. I think that would be pretty safe. Everton will have a good defensive plan in order. Fulham and Arsenal, London derby here. Arsenal, they host Atletico in midweek, and Atletico is very good, so that could be something they have one eye on. Both teams have scored in the 8 of the last 10. So BTTS, 8 of the last 10. I like BTTS here. I usually like that a lot in the derbies because even the lesser team usually gets kind of excited. The last four we've seen BTTS between Fulham and Arsenal. So I think small chance. I give Fulham a small chance at home at plus 475, at least to get a draw. And I'm going to go BTTS, Fulham and Arsenal. Spurs and Aston Villa. It will be Spurs have points in seven straight games, but they will be at Monaco on Wednesday. So maybe, again, an eye on something else, an eye on the prize in Europe. Villa have won four straight after a poor start, and they head to Holland this week as well in Europa action as they will take on the go-ahead Eagles out of the Netherlands on Thursday. The home teams won the last three in the series. I like under three here. I think both teams be probably content with a draw, 1-1, and then get out of town, get ready for their European matches. Liverpool and Man United. Liverpool have dropped three straight, but the teams they played have been pretty good, and they've been in the right form. I mean, they just caught some teams on the wrong side of the coin, so to speak. So I think Liverpool, I would not worry about them. I think they'll come back into form here. Nobody better to get back in form against than Manchester United. I think Liverpool wins this game easily. We'll go minus 1.25 at Anfield for them to win to by at least two goals. The last five in the series have went over, so I would probably, if you wanted to do something like Liverpool to win the match and over 2.5 goals, something like that to get a better plus price, I would recommend that one. And then the final game, West Ham and Brentford. These are two struggling teams. Last two under in the series, three out of the last four at West Ham, though, have went over. So maybe some goals there, but West Ham just can't score. Brentford, everybody had them dead and buried, but they're not bad. To me, it's Brentford or pass at plus 185, and I do think you could probably make a case for BTTS. This has a 1-1 written all over it. And then Jarrod Bowen, who we talk about a lot here, West Ham's only really good player. Betting him to score every week is not a bad thing because he's very, very good and could be in line for a goal this week. All right, those are our soccer plays for this week here on Bettors Last Stand. And we will have some championship and League One plays posted at BLS_PRP. So get ready for those. Follow us on there, and you can stay up to date with all the things going on here on Bettors Last Stand as we roll along here on a Football Friday, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club, getting you ready for Wheeling Park at Butler on WKKX and WatchdogNetwork.com. And John Marshall hosting the Brook Bruins. That one on WVLY and WatchdogNetwork.com. All right, let's get into the college card here. Let's parse through a few things. We got my Miami Hurricanes in action against Louisville, laying 13.5. That game tonight. This is a tricky one. From Miami's not played well against Louisville in the past. Mario Cristobal, I wouldn't want to lay 13.5 points. Louisville coming off a loss. All this says to me is play Louisville, that they'll play this game pretty tightly. 51.5, maybe the over here. I don't know. I wouldn't have a great feeling about this right now. I'm just hoping Miami's able to win the game. That's where I'm going to go. But if I was you out there, I'd play Louisville or pass on this one tonight. Another game tonight, Nebraska at Minnesota. Minnesota's won the last seven in this series, if you can believe that. Nebraska lays 7.5 on the road. I think that line is way off. I will take the Golden Gophers here. To me, in my opinion, if you've watched both of these teams play, I think the Golden Gophers are the better team here. They're catching 7.5 at home. I have to play them. I trust P.J. Fleck more than Matt Rhule. Already rumors about Matt Rhule going to Penn State. So that right there already going to have some ghosts in the Nebraska camp, so to speak. They didn't look great at Maryland last week. So I think Minnesota wins this game outright. I would take a shot with them at plus 240 and definitely take that 7.5. I think open 5 all the way up to 7.5. North Carolina at Cal, no real play here. Bill Belichick's just stay away material for me right now. Cal lays 10, total 47.5. It would be Cal or pass, but I just don't know. There's, again, swarming rumors around North Carolina program that it's very, very sketchy. Washington at Michigan. Michigan minus 6, total 50.5. I lean to the under in this game. I think both these teams, to me, just seem like under teams. Neither one of them talented enough on offense, but both have decent defenses. UConn at BC. BC, 1.5, total 58.5. BC ranking about the bottom of the barrel in just about everything in college football this year. They have been awful. And, you know, I don't think this is going to change this week. I would lean towards Connecticut here. I know that's like one of those ones you hold your nose and you take that, because nobody in their right mind would want to play Connecticut in any regard. But I'll take a shot with them here, plus 1.5 or even money on the money line. BC is really messed up, and I don't like them here at all. Eastern Michigan at Miami, Ohio. We played a few of these MAC games last week total-wise and did pretty well. Nothing really stood out to me in this game, but I did want to mention the line move here. Miami opened 11, now up to 13. Georgia Tech at Duke. Duke minus 1.5. Georgia Tech's won the last four in the series, but all the public is on Georgia Tech here. And I like Duke from the beginning. You know that. We gave out a lot of Duke futures at the beginning of the season. I'm on the Blue Devils at home. I think they win this game. Georgia Tech, good, not great. They could definitely get beat here. Arizona at Houston. We liked Arizona last week. Couldn't get it done against BYU. Battled tough. Houston pulled away late in their matchup against Oklahoma State. Houston opened 2. This game now, Arizona minus 1. I lean Arizona, but on the road, I'm going to stay away. Baylor at TCU. It's TCU minus 3. The total 66 in this one. TCU's won 8 out of 10 against Baylor. They lay 3 here at home. Baylor has struggled to cover their last 3. I think they're 0-3 in their last 3 against the spread. So that would be a concern if you're Dave Aranda. But I lean TCU here, but no real play. Army at Tulane. Tulane minus 9.5. Total 45.5. No real play on this one. Army, just so-so. Tulane, not bad. No opinion on that game. LSU at Vanderbilt. Interesting one here. Vandy. 2.5-point favorite at home. Total's 48.5. You got LSU with Texas A&M on deck. Texas A&M is all the way up to number 4 in the country. So LSU, to me, going to have a little bit of an eye on Texas A&M. Vanderbilt's one of these teams where when they're favored, it worries me. So I lean Vandy here, but I don't love it. I don't love LSU at all. Their offense has been awful. Probably an underplay here in this game. LSU, with Nussmeier being touted as a Heisman contender, they've been anything but impressive on offense. Oklahoma at South Carolina. Oklahoma off the big Red River loss to Texas. They lay 5.5 on the road here. Total 43. This thing opened 4. And now it's up to 5.5. I don't get that. I didn't love anything I saw about Oklahoma last week. They have Ole Miss on deck. Now, Ole Miss just continues to be loaded with games, and it's just all the more reason why they were not going to care about Washington State, because then they got Georgia this week, and then they got to play Oklahoma. So, tough run for Ole Miss, but they're a good team. South Carolina, I'm going to take a shot with them, plus the 5.5 at home. I think they keep this close. If Oklahoma wins this, it's going to be by a field goal. Central Florida hosts the Mountaineers. You can hear it right here on the Watchdog Network at 1 o'clock. That game also on TNT will be Central Florida minus 1.5, the total 46.5. Central Florida seems to be a team that whoever the dog is in the game seems to have a shot of covering. So I would lean Mountaineers here. I think 7.5. This is a pretty evenly matched game, and I think this is a game, probably one of the last games the Mountaineers will have a shot of winning. Kent State at Toledo. Toledo minus 26.5. Total is 51. The last 3 between these two have went over, and we're going to be back on Toledo over. We were on it last week. We're going to go over the 51 here in that one. Buffalo at UMass. UMass catching 17.5 at home. 44.5. I think Buffalo is a pretty good team, but I don't like them laying 17.5 here. I would lean the Minutemen in that one. Purdue at Northwestern. Northwestern minus 3, the total 46.5. Northwestern off the big win at Penn State. To me, this is a play against spot. This is a little bit of a letdown. They're walking around like the kings of the campus. And Purdue, we keep saying Purdue's improving. So I would take a shot with Purdue. I think Purdue team total would be in play. And then maybe even the game over 46.5. Purdue definitely improved on offense. Michigan State at Indiana. Indiana minus 27, 52.5. This would be an absolute play against if Michigan State was any good at all. But they are not. And Indiana is really, really good. So I would probably say Indiana's team total over. And maybe Michigan State's team total under in this one. I'm impressed with the Indiana defense as much as I am the offense. Air Force hosting Wyoming. This game opened Air Force minus 6, down to minus 4, total 58.5. Air Force games seem to be in high octane so far, but Wyoming, just they're not very good on offense. So 58.5 seems like a little bit too many points there, or as far as the total goes, total points. I would lean to the under in that game, but no real play. Texas A&M at Arkansas. Arkansas plus 7.5 at home, 61.5. A&M's got LSU on deck. Arkansas's lost 4 in a row. They fired their coach. I don't know. This says play against A&M. This is a look-ahead spot if there ever was one. So it's Arkansas or pass for me on that one. UNLV at Boise. Boise minus 10, now up to minus 12. 62.5 is the total there. I can't trust Boise. And UNLV's kind of scrappy. So UNLV or pass, and then probably over 62.5 in that one. Ole Miss at Georgia. 5 out of the last 7 in this series have went under. Georgia looking for revenge. They lay 7.5 at home here, 54.5 the total. I know people are going to say, no way they can be laying that many. It would be Georgia or pass for me, maybe the under. Should be a pretty close game. I know Georgia's going to want some revenge, but whenever you think 7.5 is too many points to be given to a team and you like the dog, a lot of times the favorite will be live in that one. Northern Illinois at Ohio. Ohio was open minus 13, now down to 11. 6 of the last 9 under in this one. We'll be going under with the Bobcats and the Huskies there in MAC action. Ohio State at Wisconsin. Ohio State minus 26, the total 40.5. It's an NFL total there. Wisconsin team total seems to me the best play. If you find anything above 7.5, or maybe you find a 9.5, I would play it under. I don't see Wisconsin scoring more than one single solitary set of points, whether it's a field goal or possibly a touchdown, maybe a backdoor. But Ohio State's won at least 10 in a row against Wisconsin when I researched it. I didn't even go back. I just saw they won the last 10, and it might have been more than that. But they're so much better than Wisconsin. Luke Fickell going to be out there quickly. Texas Tech at Arizona. Texas Tech laying 9.5 on the road, total 51.5. Arizona State without their quarterback. This is a tricky spot. Arizona State would be very live here if they had him. I'm not sure he's been totally ruled out yet, but I saw a little bit of a move actually towards this where Arizona State and the total went up, and Arizona State actually went down a little to like 8 at one point, but it went back up. So maybe there's some potential that he could play, but I'm not certain about that. Memphis at UAB. Memphis minus 21.5, total 63.5. Memphis plays USF next week. Maybe a look ahead spot there. I'm not laying 21.5 on the road, I can tell you that. Mississippi State at Florida. This is one I said the public is on Mississippi State. They're catching 9.5. The total's 51.5. There's no chance in the world I'm getting those points with Mississippi State. I don't like Florida at all, but I will take them in this situation minus the 9.5. Washington State at Virginia. Virginia minus 17, total 56.5. Back-to-back massive wins for the Cavaliers over Florida State and Louisville. Florida State, not very good. Louisville, we'll see. Not bad. Washington State, to me, was a lot better than what they showed previously. They played Ole Miss pretty good last week. Now, it was a bad spot for Ole Miss. I would lean with the Cougs again here, back out on the East Coast, plus the 17, they weren't really on the East Coast, but they were in the Eastern time zone last week. So plus 17, I'd lean their way. Oregon at Rutgers. Oregon, a bad spot for them. They travel to Rutgers, minus 17 on the road, 60.5 is the total. I kind of like the over here. I think there'd be some points in this game, and I would lean Rutgers. Rutgers has had a knack of knocking off big favorites at their home field in Piscataway, so I would give Rutgers a shot here, and Oregon maybe licking their wounds after a tough game against Indiana last week. Maryland at UCLA. UCLA minus 3.5 all of a sudden. UCLA favored again. 52 is the total. I don't get it. Maryland's lost two straight games by a combined 7 points. I like the Terps here. I think they go on the road and win this. I think the UCLA talk has been good, and they've got their program back to respectability, which we bet their win total over, so we're happy about that. But I think Maryland gets the job done here and keeps this one very close and maybe wins the game. Penn State at Iowa. Iowa minus 3, 39.5. Franklin out of Penn State. Turmoil there. Transfer portal heating up for the Nittany Lions. They are a mess. No Drew Aller. I got to take Iowa here. Penn State is an absolute disaster. I've never seen a team fall from grace so quickly. We cannot play them here, so we'll go Iowa minus 3 at home in Iowa City. Texas at Kentucky. That's a weird matchup. Texas minus 12.5, 42.5. They're coming off the win against Oklahoma. Massive letdown spot here for Texas Tech. Kentucky off a bye. Now, they've lost two straight going into the bye, but I like the Wildcats here. I think they keep it close. I think they frustrate Arch. And, you know, Kentucky, one thing about them, they play defense. So we'll see what they can do here. We'll take Kentucky plus 12.5. Tennessee at Alabama. Who's going to smoke the cigars in this one? Alabama minus 8, total 58.5. Bama gets the nice win last week. They're on a roll. Tennessee was off. 6 out of the last 10 over in this matchup. Alabama's won 8 of 10 straight up. Tennessee did get them last year. So I lean Bama in this game, and I lean to the over. I think points could be, you know, at a premium. I think, not really at a premium, at maximum, I guess we would say. There could be a lot of points in this game, I would say. USC at Notre Dame, going to be a lot of points in this game. The total 61.5. The Irish lay 9 at home in South Bend. USC, great performance last week. I'm not sure they're good enough to go on the road here and win this game. I'm still not sold on Notre Dame. USC's lost 6 of 7 to Notre Dame. 7-3 to the over in this series. Got to be on the over, 61.5. I think there'll be points. I think USC can put some points up, and I know Notre Dame can. They didn't play very well last week. It might have been touch of a look-ahead spot from Notre Dame last week. That was very noticeable. So they were looking forward to this game, and I missed that. Florida Atlantic at South Florida. South Florida at Memphis next week. They lay 21.5 here. The total, 73 points. Well, first of all, I think this is a really good under spot because I think South Florida will probably take the foot off the gas later in the game, and I think Florida Atlantic will be live here. 21.5, it's an in-state rival. I give them a shot to hang here. I'm going to go under 73 and take the Owls. Pitt at Syracuse. I love Syracuse in this game. Plus 11, total 54.5. Massive letdown spot for Pitt, who got a win last week against a crummy team that they think are good. I'm not sold on Pitt being back at all. They really had to struggle to survive that. Give me Syracuse at home. I think they win the game outright at plus 325. They're going to have a good chance. Missouri at Auburn. 1.5, Missouri lays on the road, 43.5. Missouri lost a tough one to Alabama. Auburn, a mess. They've lost three straight. They barely scored in any of those games. To me, Missouri, a much better team than Auburn, but will they lose four in a row? That's tricky. That's Missouri or pass. Utah at BYU, the holy war. It'll be Utah minus 3.5, the total 49. Utah, 7-3 ATS, the last 10 against BYU. BYU's won the last two, though, in the series. Prior to that, Utah had dominated. The Cougars are the better team here, in my opinion. I will be taking them plus a 3.5 at home. Cincinnati at Oak State. Half tempted to take Oak State here. Cincinnati with a couple of home wins. They may be smelling themselves a little, thinking they're better than they are. They go to Stillwater and lay an egg. 21.5 is a lot to lay for Cincinnati on the road. If you want to take Oklahoma State, good luck. Florida State at Stanford. This one doesn't make any sense to me. Florida State laying 18.5. The public all over them. 53 is the total. I'll take the Cardinal at home plus the 18 points. A few other news and notes from the side of college football. Let's go through a few trends. Texas Tech. The Texas Tech Arizona State game, the Sun Devils games. The Sun Devils are 9-2 in their last 11 ATS. And right now, Texas Tech on a 4-0 ATS run. Texas A&M and Arkansas, the Aggies have been favored in 15 straight games with the Razorbacks, and they've covered 5 of the last 7. They're up to 4th in the country, and they are right now they're on a 3-9 ATS slide, though, so that's not very good. Auburn 1-4 ATS run. They've scored 9 points again. That's what I was alluding to a minute ago. They're not scoring at all. Central Michigan, 3-10 ATS run against BG. Not good there. Central Florida and West Virginia. This is an interesting tidbit. The Knights, however many games this is, 18 of the last 23 games. It was 23 games, duh. The underdog is covered. So that would say West Virginia. 18 out of 23 games that Central Florida featured in, the underdog has covered. Duke, 13-5 ATS at home. And they are 23-12 as a dog. So let's go Dukies. Michigan State Spartans rank 106 in offense out of 136 teams. I just don't see how they keep this close with Indiana. Purdue, the Boilermakers, on a 3-15 straight up run, but I do like them against Northwestern this week. I think Northwestern going to be a little bit of a letdown spot there. Gamecocks of South Carolina on a 10-5 ATS run. The Baylor Bears 0-3 in their last 3 ATS. Vanderbilt 11-5 ATS in their last 16. And another bad, futile, anemic offense, the Wisconsin Badgers, 127th in offense against Ohio State this week. I think the Buckeyes absolutely murder them in probably an under. All right, NFL, we got a few minutes left here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 147, getting you ready for high school football action tonight on the Watchdog Network. Steelers-Bengals. Bengals, to me, were a decent play. We'll see how that turns out. Rams and Jags, London in the morning on Sunday. It's the Jags catching 3 in their home away from home. 44.5 is the total. I like the game under the total here. I would lean the Rams, too. To me, the Rams are just the superior team. I really don't think that the Jaguars are really that good. They're just okay. I would definitely say Rams are pass, but I like the under in London. That one at Wembley. 10.5 is the number. They're the opener for Kansas City. They now lay 12 against the Raiders. The total, 45.5. One interesting tidbit from this game. The Raiders have covered 3 straight at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs are now 1-7 in the division as a home favorite of greater than 8 points. They're 1-9 in the division of a home favorite of greater than 11 points. So this says play the Raiders, and I think that's probably where we'll go. I think they'll win. Kansas City will win the game, but the Raiders will cover the spread. Cleveland laying 3 for the first time in a long, long time. The total 40.5 against the Miami Dolphins. How does this one shake out? Do the Browns have one more good run in them? The Browns with 1-7 against the AFC East in their last eight. That is not good, but I like the Browns here. I think they cover the three. New England at Tennessee. Callahan out the door. Tennessee catches 7 at home. The total is 42 in this one. Callahan was 0-10 in home games, and the Patriots 0-7 as a road favorite of less than 10 points. So, something's got to give here. I would lean towards Tennessee. They get the little coach bump, and New England has not done well in these situations, laying this kind of a point total on the road. New Orleans at Chicago. It will be one other thing I like about that game. I like points in that game. I think there will be some scoring. I think Tennessee will open the offense up a little bit now that Callahan's gone and let Cam Ward throw the ball down the field a little bit more. So I think that will lead to an over here. New England has done a pretty good job scoring recently as well. So over 42. New Orleans at Chicago. Chicago red hot. 47.5 is the total. The Bears lay 5.5 at home. Can the Bears keep it up? I don't know. New Orleans 0-6 before playing Tampa Bay in their last six, so that doesn't bode well. I did like this spot for New Orleans, but after looking at that, a little bit leery. So New Orleans are passed for me in that one. Philly at Minnesota. What a game this has turned out to be. This is going to be a spot I was going to absolutely play Minnesota in, but Philly's a mess, so maybe they're the play. They're -2 on the road, the total 43.5. To me, this says nothing says under like Brian Flores and a struggling Eagles offense. So we're going to go with under in this one. Minnesota 3-1 against Philly, but 0-4 before Thursday night games, and 1-8 against a rested opponent with a 500 win percentage or better. So I would say that I like Minnesota in this game plus the 2. I also like the game under the 43. So that's what I'm going to stick with. But Philly, you just don't know what you're going to get out of them. Carolina on the road at the Jets. How about this one? The Jets open favored. Carolina now a road favorite, -1.5. The total is 42 in this game. Justin Fields sacked 9 times. I don't know how many times I had to tell people and argue with them on the radio and whatever. Justin Fields can't play in this league. He's just not a quarterback. He's terrible. And until then, we'll never play the Jets. Probably going to be an under in this game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina found a way, but at some point the Jets are going to have to win a game. Colts at Chargers. Chargers -1.5. The total is 48.5 in this one. I don't know what to make of this. Chargers have been eking out some games. They lost the game and they won a tight one. Colts didn't play very well last week. They're +1.5. They're getting play, though, as a public dog. So I got to sit this game out. I guess if I had to choose anything in this game, it would be a lean to the over, but don't love anything. Giants at Broncos. Broncos -7. The total 40. How in the world is Denver given 7? Did you see them in London last week? If they played anybody else other than the New York Jets, they would have lost. Denver, only 1-3 as a favorite this year. They were 8-0 entering the season. Well, on an 8-0 run, that is. And I don't see how they cover 7. I mean, the Giants are beat up, but come on. They're at least got a shot. They're much more formidable than the Jets, and the Jets pushed Denver to the wire. Can they handle the elevation? That's the question. I like the under 40. I don't think Denver will score much on a good Giants pass rush. I expect Bo Nix to turn the ball over quite a bit. Washington at Dallas, a big rivalry. Washington -1.5. The total is 55.5 in this one. Dallas 4-0 in their last four against Washington, and they're 26-5 as division favorites. That's Washington, that is, of 2 points or more. So I don't know. Washington, though, flipped as a dog in this game. I believe they were originally the dog, and now they are the favorite at 1.5. So these stats kind of teetering on the brink, but Dallas has had good numbers against Washington. So to me, this is Dallas or pass. Dallas off of a bad performance. Washington really off a bad performance as well. 55, that's a lot of points, but I don't see any stops coming for the Cowboys. Green Bay at Arizona. Green Bay lays 6.5 on the road. Open 4.5. Totals up to 44.5. Cardinals 6-0 before the bye week. They're 11-1 against non-division NFC, or as a non-division NFC home dog. I love the Cardinals. They're my best bet of the week. I think they'll win this game outright. I think everything sets up perfectly for them, and I do. I just don't believe in this Packer team. I've watched them several times now. They're just not as good as people are advertising. The power rating is through the roof, and I don't understand it. They are the Bengals of the NFC. They are not very good, and they're laying 6.5. They could have easily lost that game to Cincinnati last week. So we're going with the Cardinals on the money line and plus the 6.5. Atlanta at San Francisco. This is another game. I absolutely love the San Francisco 49ers in this game. Atlanta. They are false prophets, we'll say. Frisco lays 2 here, the total 47.5. I don't see any way Atlanta duplicates what they did the other night. That was a miracle. Not the Buffalo's playing well, because they're not. But I think San Francisco, who comes off a tough one, they played Tampa tough. Tampa very good. Atlanta had a soft spot last week at home. They caught a team that wasn't prepared, and they won. But they're not the same team going on the road. I love San Francisco in this old NFC West rivalry. Give me Frisco minus the 2. Tampa at Detroit. Detroit minus 5.5. The total 53.5. Tampa's had great numbers. They're 3-1 versus Detroit in their last 4, and 9-0 in non-division road games, greater than 3 points on the spread there. But they're 1-10 on Monday Night Football off a straight-up win. I like Detroit here. I think Tampa's balloons got to crash down at some point, so we're going to take the Lions, Lola's Lions, at home to cover that 5.5 off of a disappointing performance that they had last week. Houston at Seattle, the other Monday night game. Mike McDonald is only 3-9 in home games. To me, this says Houston is the play here, plus 3.5. But can they protect C.J. Stroud? That's what's going to come down to. Possibly an under in this game, too. I think both teams will struggle to move the ball. Probably a lot of running in this battle. So those are our NFL plays this week on Bettors Last Stand, show number 147. And that's going to do it for us here on the Watchdog Network. High school football pregame show is next. And then Wheeling Park at Butler at 7 o'clock. And John Marshall hosts Brooke at 7 o'clock on WVOY Park over on WKKX. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be. Got the Mountaineers here tomorrow against UCF on the road. And the Browns hosting the Dolphins here on Sunday afternoon. That's going to do it for us. Best of luck on your wagers this weekend. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Enjoy the nice fall weather, and we will see you back here on Bettors Last Stand next week. Thank you for listening to High School Football and Football Friday here on the Watchdog Network.